So everybody is being told to leave the area right now here on the beach. The tiki bar is being cleared out. All of these things are being cleared out. It's being roped off right now. They're asking that everybody vacate the area and leave immediately. You can see the smoke. I don't know if you can, the smoke in the sky. But we were just walking on the beach and we saw smoke everywhere. And we're being informed that there's major, major cartel violence happening right now all over Puerto Vallarta. Apparently, they've captured a top-ranking cartel member. And when that happens, all-out war happens. A number of cars have been set on fire, motorcycles set on fire. In fact, there were some attendees of Anarchapoco who were in a taxi cab. Taxi drivers are apparently targeted by the cartel. They were they had their car shot at. The taxi driver was murdered, and the car was set on fire. All of their luggage has been burnt, including their clothes and passports. In fact, so it's a pretty scary, dire situation right now. We're being told, do not go out at all. Do not walk in the streets. Do not get in a taxi or an Uber. Do not go to the airport. In fact, the entire airport may be shut down right now because of this cartel violence. I mean, we heard Trump mentioning a while back that he's going to go after the cartel in Mexico. Is this the beginning of that? Are we witnessing it live? I don't know, but everybody here has just been instructed to leave the area immediately. The entire beach here is being shut down. It's clearing out. And really, really intense situation going on here in Puerto Vallarta. So I'm going to continue to document this as we do. We're going to stay safe in our hotel. I don't know if you can see the smoke in the air, but it's all over the place. It's thinned out now in the last hour, but apparently, from what I understand, there's a whole bunch of cartel violence happening all over the city right now. We don't fly out until tomorrow, but hopefully it's not going to be an issue for us, because as it is right now, the airports might even be shut down. I hear the military is getting involved. Some of these cartel have, in the past, shot down military helicopters because they literally own rocket launchers. So this is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. Again, everybody is being forced to vacate the bar, the beach area. And smoke in the air. Major situation here in Puerto Vallarta.
We are live here. It is Monday, February 23rd, I believe, here at the American Journal. Obviously, it's all insane in Mexico right now. There was a report that El Mecho's son was captured as well. I think there's some helicopter footage of the Mexican government looking at that, pulling him in. We've got the president of Mexico has left the country. She's on a boat because she's probably in fear for her life, because she was probably told that, we have to keep, she has a deal with these people. She lets them deal drugs. She backs them up. And then they keep the country running smooth. And so what we're seeing now in Mexico, it's kind of spreading all over the country, is the cartel saying, no, we control this land. This is what happens when your society breaks down. And if you want to see the future of the United States, this is what you're looking at. You're looking at a city that, or a country that has money and has nice resources, but it's controlled by criminals. And if we continue to let criminals control our country, this is what it's going to descend into.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X For every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexshowstore.com.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Between 1999 and 2002, when she was underage, she was forced to have sex with Prince Andrew on several occasions. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, knowing him as I know him, and he's one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life, and my best friend, and great father to my children, I just thought, I don't understand in this day and age how people can make salacious lies up. This is defamation of character of a person that is the opposite to how he's being portrayed.
Prince Andrew have a nickname at that time?
It was called the plain and simple, because unfortunately, he upset everyone he come across. He was the most unpopular member of the royal family while I was there. And he was just rude, arrogant. I mean, his sense of self-entitlement was breathtaking.
The Epstein fallout, raining like molten disgust from the sky, is so widespread that the panic amongst the normies has cracked wide open, while the scramble to close Pandora's box by the ghoulish establishment continues to ramp up. The pseudo-British monarchy, pseudo because they are actually German, is again under fire as King Charles, longtime pal of the late cadaver-raping pedophile Jimmy Savile, watches his disgraced brother Prince Andrew get hauled in by police amid the latest Epstein file dumps. The UK elite, essentially a pedo class at this point.
Oh, no, some people want the age of consent to be 4.
What?
What country is this?
UK, our nation, yes.
What?
If you look at the people who are involved in the paedophile information exchange, which was most had most of its power probably from the 70s onwards, 80s, 90s, they had funding from the Home Office in the 90s. Those people are still around. In fact, one of the members of the paedophile information exchange is the treasurer of Edinburgh Pride. Some of them are academics, and they look very, very, you know, professional as they're talking about the importance of, you know, giving children their own autonomy.
Tom O'Carroll is a self-confessed, unrepentant pedophile and one of the founding members of the Pedophile Information Exchange. He now shies away from advocating the age of 4. Too easily misunderstood, he says.
The age of 4 came into it insofar as children by that age are normally verbal and can normally say whether they are liking a particular kind of activity or not.
A proclivity passed down from the late Lord Mountbatten Windsor to his pedo relatives.
To the royal family, he was irreplaceable, especially to Prince Charles, who grew up under Mountbatten's watchful eye. But there's one lesson Charles never knew he was being taught: how to hide desire in plain sight. Because Mountbatten was married, but not monogamous, not straight, and not harmless. A 1944 FBI file described him as a homosexual with a perversion for young boys. That wasn't just American paranoia. British intelligence, too, noted that Mountbatten had a lust for working-class youth, often teenage naval cadets, the kind who couldn't say no. In the 1970s, guests at his Broadlands estate described weekends filled with entertainment that rarely included his wife.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was arrested on his ominous 66th birthday of suspicion of misconduct in public office, tied to his Epstein connections and espionage against the state that can carry a life sentence.
Ghislaine Maxwell's family have seen fit to comment. Astonished to see Andrew Mountbatten Windsor arrested today over alleged misconduct in public office linked to material from the so-called Epstein files. You are related to a woman who has been charged with sex trafficking crimes, and you are saying allegedly called the Epstein files. He is entitled to the presumption of innocence and a fair process. What fair process have any of the victims of your relative, Ghislaine Maxwell, received?
Andrew was held for 12 hours, then released under investigation, with cops raiding his former homes the next day. Fresh emails show him allegedly sharing sensitive UK government information about trips to Southeast Asia and Afghan investments with Epstein back in 2010 to 2011 during his trade rep days.
Now they're releasing photos out of the Epstein file of him with fake breasts with babies, playing with babies on the ground with fake breasts. And there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails all about how do we get babies to suck better? Well, you play a tape with their mama when they're real hungry. You stick it in their mouth. This is training aids to get the babies to willingly approach you. Oh, you like playing with that breast, that fake rubber breast? Here. Here's the breast right here for you. So you give them a fake breast with milk in it or whatever. They used to suck it on that, and they just bring them over, and now suck on this. And I'm sorry to be gross, but that's what Ted Gunderson told me they did 30 years ago. Now it's in the files.
Do you, sir, believe that these dreadful allegations of babies being sacrificed are true?
I absolutely believe it, without any doubt. Based on the information that's been given to me across the country by numerous survivors and by confidential sources and informants.
Then why didn't you name these people and arrest them? Never a name, never an arrest. These women come out of a group and they insist that they know the people in the group, and yet they do not identify these large, mysterious cults. Name them and arrest them and get them off the street.
Does he not make a valid point?
He makes a valid point. The problem with that is, number one, police officers don't believe it. I may believe it. You may believe it. Some people in your audience may believe it. They don't believe it. Number two, if you decide to investigate these people, you have to, number one, handle it from an undercover operation. If you put an undercover operation into effect, then you have, in a sense, your own police officers become involved in these heinous crimes, and they are, of course, become murderers.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
On the Epstein saga, there's all kind of interesting videos that dropped over the weekend. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, which one do I want to go to first? And I think what we're going to do is go to, there was a plan, Carl Higbee is reporting from Newsmax, of a conversation with Jeffrey Epstein, and they were going to remove Donald Trump from office, you know, using the 25th Amendment. And they had to get, Mike Pompeo on board. And so I don't know how much of this Trump knows now or how much he knew at the time. This is clip 27. And so this kind of jumps away from the sex trafficking. And then we're going to get back into it because they're finding all kinds of people. A chief of staff of a Republican state senator in Alaska was arrested for child sex trafficking. There's a D.C. Democrat running for Congress charged with distributing pornography. So it's going around. We're getting to the dregs. Now, are we going to find everybody? No, it seems like these are low-level people, low-level Renfields that are getting caught up in these sweeps and people starting to ask questions and look at things. But let's go to this report from Carl Higbee over at Newsmax and the conversation with Jeffrey Epstein on removing Donald Trump from office.
Why was he talking about replacing Trump, swapping Pompeo as the VP with Mike Pence, and then using the 25th Amendment to make Pompeo the president? These are text messages with what is assumed to be Epstein, confirmed to be with Bannon. Quote, "I like the idea of Pence stepping down in favor of Pompeo, so when it happens, he becomes president. That's from allegedly Epstein. And I'm thinking, it? What do you mean by it? Bannon, responding, that is his name, has this been shopped? Epstein replies, Rudy did lay out impeachment, Pelosi vote, and don't go after Ivanka. Bannon says, great. Great. Impeaching Trump? Well, I mean, we now know Pompeo was not a product of MAGA doctrine and was heavily critical of Trump once he left his first term showing his true colors, and Bannon wanted him to become president? Am I reading that? There's a possibility that Bannon did nothing wrong and these are being misinterpreted. There's a possibility, giving him the benefit of the doubt here, considering he was, like, I defended this guy. I thought he was good for the administration initially. But there's some splaining to do about beyond talking about a documentary to revitalize Jeffrey Epstein's image. A lot of people have a lot of explaining to do, way beyond the island, way beyond sexual assault and all those, and rape and all those things. The more this stuff comes out, the more people keep getting caught in stuff that makes people like me question absolutely everything. Everything is now up for question. Mostly proving that Trump and all the conspiracy theorists, we were right about a ton of stuff. Keep in mind, first it was the redactions. Okay, we couldn't get all the files. They were redacting them, and then they redacted Les Wexner. Now he's being deposed. Then, when they finally did release all the files, because there was such turmoil to get these things out, once they finally released all those things, they put them up on the government website in such a manner that makes it so difficult to search anything. Something, you have data that spreads out over thousands of pages, but you can only have 10 links per page, so you can only search 10 at a time, and there are hundreds of thousands of links
and,
to link.
And let's not forget, who was in charge of, who was the Secretary of State? It was Pompeo was the Secretary of State. He led the CIA and then became Secretary of State during all this, and he was the one who also came out and said, oh, there's nothing wrong with this election in 2020. All these people were in on it. And so... You know, people are like, well, why are you, defend Trump and all this? It seems like Trump is the one being attacked. They don't like him for some reason. I don't know if we'll ever find out why. But it seems like they're hell-bent on getting him out of office, and the 2020 election was the key to it. And I'm going to go to a clip in a little bit. We'll finish this up. But this is like a remember. I remember when this clip came out. It was Jesse Morgan, a trucker, who was talking about 2020 ballots that he was driving from New York to Pennsylvania that were already filled out. And then the truck disappeared. You know, just how it happens. Let's continue with the report.
Individual pages. It would take one person a lifetime to get through a fraction of it. It takes forever. But you know what? Thank God we got the internet and we got crowdsourcing. And I always tell people at home, you want to be a part of the solution, get on there and start looking this stuff up, because there's a ton of stuff out there. And if we as citizens don't force our government to be transparent, voting's a suggestion. And you know what's crazy, folks, is normally we come out of these monologues and we have a guest for you. We reached out to dozens and dozens and dozens of conservatives. And you know how many wanted to come on and talk about it with me? Zero. Tells you we're hovering over the target.
So, you know, you've got this conspiracy going on. How much did Steve Bannon know? Alex Jones came out on Saturday. This is a short clip. He might drop an F-bomb or two because it's the Saturday show over at the Alex Jones Network. And he's basically saying Steve Bannon needs to come clean on, he's mainly talking about the Epstein, on his Epstein situation. But yeah, where is Bannon lying around in all this stuff? How much did he know? And then when he got outed, people were thinking it was other outsiders pushing him out. Maybe it was Trump pushing him out. Maybe Trump got wind of what he was trying to do. But here is, here's clip 25. And this is Alex like laying down the law on a guy that he's, you know, Alex has been on his show many times, had him on his show. So he wants him to come clean. Here it is.
the people in the war room.
Yeah.
And I'm not like some talk show. It's like, God, war room's in trouble. I'll get more viewers. We need all of that. God, he was legislatively battling every little area, mobilizing. Like, he was kicking ass for us. Here's what I think. He was a social climber, political guy, smart, got in, kissed the ass of the system, got in overall, I think, as a populist patriot, but wore the ring of Mordor. And then he knew this was coming out years ago, so he really proved himself. Him and Epstein talk about, I'm going to be this media guy that's on the counter. He told Epstein that too. So he wanted to reprove himself ahead of all this and build a network so important that people would forgive him for this. Steve, you need to spill your guts, and I think you'll be forgiven because I think I get the picture of what you did.
We'll pull it out there.
And, you know,
that was Alex Jones on a Saturday show. You can catch those Saturday shows at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live on X. And they also appear on Rumble. And, yeah, what we need is I would even be for, because I don't think any of these people are going to go to jail anyway. Let's give them a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Let everybody come through, spill their guts. Then we know exactly what happened in the election, in COVID. Because I don't see any accountability happening at this point. I'd rather at least get the truth, and then we don't allow these people to participate in those businesses ever again. Like, they're kind of exiled from society. But we're not going to hang you, you know. But, you know, is that going to happen anyway? I don't know. I was alluding to this before. This is Jesse Morgan, who's a trucker, who gets up and does this press conference. And to me, this was like, well, how is this not the biggest news in America? And it just, you know, went on OAN and a couple other places. Fox News probably played it. And then it just, you know, shuffled away. Mainstream media didn't report it, so it didn't exist. And, let's hear what he has to say. This is an old clip.
So, in total, I saw 24 Gaylords, or large cardboard containers of ballots loaded into my trailer. These Gaylords contain plastic trays. I call them totes, but trays will work, of ballots stacked on top of each other. All the envelopes were the same size. I could see the envelopes had handwritten addresses, return addresses, and I could even tell that one was marked registered mail. That one was off to the side, all right? They were complete ballots. I didn't think much of it at the time. At Bethpage, I was first loaded with two tall Gaylords. So picture that thing there, or this little representation here, but this tall, all right?
So a double Gaylord.
I was loaded with two tall Gaylords, okay? And that were, hold on, where was I at? They had mixed mail pieces bound for Lancaster. These Gaylords were loaded first because they would be the last off my trailer. The remainder of the truck was loaded with complete ballots bounded for Harrisburg. I then drove to Harrisburg with the ballots. Usually I offload in one of the seven docks every day, but not on October 21st. I wasn't allowed to offload. That's different. Whenever I pull in the Harrisburg, I go around and I get my dock and I get unloaded and then I roll out. Not that day, all right? Not that day. Instead, I was made to wait for roughly 6 hours in the yard from 9:15 a.m. to 3 p.m. This really ticked me off, all right, because my brother was in town. He just moved back up, and I wanted to spend some time with him. I tried to get the attention of postal workers, but no one would tell me what's going on. All of this was weird. I arrived at about the same time every day. The expediter scans all my seals and barcodes, and they unload me. But for the first time, but from the time I first arrived in Harrisburg from Bethpage, everything got weird. None of that happened. After waiting 6 hours, I went inside to figure out what's going on. I was told to wait for the transportation supervisor. This was also weird. 16 months I've been doing this. I haven't ever talked to the transportation supervisor for United States Postal Service. I talk to an expediter. I come in, I see an expediter. That's who I deal with. If I have an issue, it's the expediter. I don't deal with anyone else but the expediter. I never, never talk to the United States Postal Service's transportation supervisor. Let's make that clear. I have my own transportation supervisor for the company that I work for. He's the one that gives me the details. He's the one that I listen to. I don't listen to this guy. He's the guy that would contact my boss if he needed something ran different. I've never spoken with this transportation supervisor from the United States Postal Service. They don't speak to people like me. He's a top guy. He's the kind of guy that would speak to my boss, not a trucker like me. The supervisor told me to drive to Lancaster without being unloaded in Harrisburg. This made no sense to me. I knew the ballots were loaded for Harrisburg, and that if I was to go to Lancaster, they would have to off unload my those pallets in Lancaster to take off Lancaster stuff to put the ballots back on the trailer to send them back to Harrisburg. Doesn't make no sense.
Yeah, let's pause for a second. So you got a guy who does his job. He's been doing it for months. He knows how, a lot of people do these jobs like trucking. You know, there's a certain system that's followed. And you load stuff up. The first thing that goes on is the last thing coming off, which you said in the beginning. And if you look at Pennsylvania, it's a big square. And in the center of the state's Harrisburg, and kind of southeast of that would be Lancaster, as they say. So, and he's coming from New York, New Jersey area, coming down in, hitting Harrisburg first, supposed to drop off ballots. And I was like, oh, no, you're going to take all these to Harrisburg or to Lancaster County, which is interestingly enough where all the Amish are. And the Amish were pro-Trump, especially in the last election. I don't know how much they were in the previous election. Maybe they were staying out of it. Maybe they did vote. But they were bringing ballots, and he gets to it. How much time we have left on this clip? Okay. We'll get to the other side of this, where he talks about what's in on the ballots, because he says, he looked at the ballots. They're already filled out. So these are ballots he's supposed to bring so people could fill them out, and they run them through the machines. Like when you go to a normal election. You go to a normal election, you get a blank ballot, you fill it out. Some of these you fill out by hand, some of them you fill them out with computer. And then the ballot pops out, and then you give it to the election person. They put it in the ballot box, and then it gets counted. Which is, honestly, it's a weird way to do elections. It should automatically, when you put that ballot in, boom, you should start seeing totals coming up. So they can't do this stuff behind the scenes, but they keep everything held up. And it's like, oh, we're government workers. We know what to do. We're going to put cardboard up. You can't see us counting because we don't want you to look at the process. You just have to trust the results. And this is what happens. You get things that don't work out right. And a trucker goes, hey, man, this ain't right. So we'll finish this story when we come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend week. Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
it's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it. Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, good morning. The second half of the first hour of The American Journal is now live. You're listening to me, Rob Due, here in the InfoWars studios. We are still on the air here. The Central Texas Command Center. And it was, I think, June 2024, the first time they tried to scam their way and kick us out of this building. Didn't work. And they tried again with an auction. That didn't work. A fake auction. Even the federal judge said that was not an auction. You know, they could say, oh, well, we did this. We had everything. We had all our ducks in a row. The judge is, we're going to own InfoWars. Hey, the Onion people get on and say they owned InfoWars. Yeah, there he is right behind me. Right there. Letting the sink in. That was, we were out of here for a day. They cut off the internet. And saying, I'm a federal agent. You will cut off this internet. And here we are. Still here. Thanks to you out there. Because the reason we're here, still providing news and analysis, is because people like you look at the mainstream media, look at what's going on out there, and you go, hey, we're not getting the truth. We're going to go back to our trucker video. I misplaced it. I started putting new things up, but there it is. There he is. Jesse Morgan. I almost called him John Morgan. Jesse Morgan. Just a good old trucker. Good old trucker trying to deliver his load so he can go hang out with his brother. And he's getting messed with. He's getting messed with by people higher up than him that shouldn't be talking to him. And that's the interesting thing about the way systems work. You know, their systems have a process. And when the process gets turned, well, especially when it's ruining your day for some reason and holding you up from being efficient, you're like, man, what's going on? Oh, well, let me open up this truck and see what's in the back here. Let's see what's going on back here. Let's see what's in these Gaylords. So let's finish it up. Sorry for the Beavis and Butthead humor this morning, but when he said the tall Gaylord, I almost lost it. And so did the crew out there. They all started laughing too. So let's finish up with Jesse Morgan's tale that we never really heard about.
This was a real screw up in my thinking. I wanted my ticket. So whenever I go to a place, whenever I'll leave, I'll get a ticket. I'll get a ticket, a slip, whatever you want to call it. It's the date, time that I'm supposed to be there. It'll have my trailer number on it. It'll have how much I'm loaded. It'll have the seal number. It has my name. It'll have who was the expediter. So I wanted my ticket, my slip. I call them tickets. Some people call them slips, okay? And then because I was there for 6 hours, I wanted my late slip, too, because I wanted to be paid for sitting in that yard for 6 hours. So I wanted the ticket and the late slip for stopping in at Harrisburg. Also, I wanted it because if they're telling me to take this load to Lancaster, I don't want to pull up the Lancaster of Harrisburg crap and be like, yeah, they just told me to be or come here and not have no ticket because they don't look like I just came straight here, you know. Just to prove that I was there. And so others would know I wasn't the person that screwed this up. A ticket is always provided to a driver when they arrive at a United States Postal Service facility. It proves you were there. The transportation supervisor refused to give me a ticket and told me to leave. I then demanded he give me a late slip, since I wanted to get paid for the time I was sitting there and waiting for them to offload me. He refused to give me that too. He was kind of rude and wouldn't explain anything to me. He just told me to go to Lancaster. I then drove to Lancaster, unhooked my trailer in its normal place, and then drove my truck to where I always park it, in a nearby lot, and then I went home. The next day, it just got weirder. As I arrived at Lancaster's United States Postal Service facility, with my tractor, I went to hook up to my trailer, and my trailer was gone, not there no more. 10R 1440. Since I started driving that Bethpage route, I've always had a trailer, 10R 1440. I like that trailer. It was a nice trailer. I know you guys probably don't really know nothing about truck driving or trailers or anything, but the rear tandems, if you're driving light, the rear tandems will actually, the front axle will actually go up. Nice air ride. The doors on it, it worked great. Some of the trailers that place has, you could honestly put it on the back of a carrier and drop it off in the middle of the ocean and no one would worry about it. So that trailer I really liked, okay?
Hit pause. Just so you can tell this guy's story is authentic and he's not just some dude making it up on the fly, because he's bringing up weird details like how he likes the trailer. Okay? That's a trucking thing. You know, some guys don't like certain tires. You know, they don't like retread tires. They like brand new tires. They like the way the refrigerator thing hums, you know, if they're, they call it a reefer unit, actually. Don't laugh, guys. It's literally called a reefer. And they like, some of them like the way some of them sound, like the compressor up there sounds better and helps them sleep better. Like there's all kind of weird, I've done documentaries on trucking. Like truckers are weird about stuff like this. That's how you know this guy's story is authentic all the way through. And he's just like, and he doesn't understand what's going on. And now his truck's missing. His trailer's missing. He's supposed to deliver this. And now he's like, what the, they had me out here. Then they take my my trailer. And I'm trying to get my, all he wants is his late slip and go hang out with his brother and drink some beer. You can tell that's all he wants to do. Drink some Iron City or Rolling Rock, whatever they drink up there. All right, let's finish it up.
What happened on October 21st was a series of unusual events that cannot be a coincidence. I know I saw ballots with return addresses filled out, thousands of them. Thousands loaded onto my trailer in New York and headed for Pennsylvania. At first, I didn't think it was a big deal. In fact, I thought it was really awesome. I really did. I was like, sweet, I'm doing something for the presidential race. You know, this is cool. But as things became weirder, I got to thinking and wondered why I was driving complete ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. I didn't know why, so I decided to speak up. And that's what I'm doing today. Thank you.
Completed ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. Does that seem odd? I mean, that would be breaking news across the... If that was filled out for Donald Trump... If those ballots were filled out for Donald Trump, you know it would have been the biggest news ever. We've caught election fraud. Did y'all just make that? That's beautiful. Oh, you found the same guy? Yeah, right. Slaps roof of Gaylord. You can fit a lot of stolen ballots in this, baby. Let's go. Steal an election, Beavis. I mean, that's literally what happened. They literally just inserted fake ballots into the system. And because computers are counting these things, the computer doesn't know. We don't know what's going on. Oh, you found the actual picture of the Gaylord box. That's what you were saying. Yeah. Gaylord's going to be word of the day. I thought it was going to be Mexico, but it's definitely Gaylord at this point. Going back... Here's the point. Here's the point. This is why I'm going to go into this weird 4chan stuff and weird posts. We can't believe anything we're being told at this point from any side. They're all obfuscating something. It's probably eating kids. It's probably trafficking babies. I mean, it's horrible stuff. That's why we're not seeing the light of day on it. And it all had to happen. And it's all part of COVID as well. They had to steal the election so they could try to institute COVID lockdowns, which they'd kind of been disrupted by that point. So nobody was going backward to it. But they're like, oh, we could still inject these people. But this is from Mr. Pool QQ. So this is a Q thing. So, yeah. So apparently there's a countdown. So I'm just going to let you know. On February 19th, a document appeared in the DOJ's Epstein Library portal. By midnight, it was gone, but we have it. So it's EPS 2026-219 sealed. The document contained 43 names that were redacted in the original January 31st release. These are not the 318 public names. These are the names Bonnie said were withheld for law enforcement sensitive purposes. The ones under federal investigation. Someone at the DOJ uploaded the unredacted version by mistake. 4 hours later, deleted scrub like it never existed. But the screenshots spread to 14 Telegram channels before takedown. So that. But you got to love things like Telegram. We can't publish all 43. Not yet. Why not? What are we doing? If it's so... If it's so dire and you're just an anonymous Q guy, why can't you just publish it and just you let it go? It's like lighting a firework. You light the fuse and you let it go and you see what happens. Usually you get fireworks. So this is what was visible before deletion. 3 sitting U.S. senators, 1 active Supreme Court justice, 2 former CIA directors, 1 current NATO official, 4 Fortune 500 CEOs, 2 in tech, 1 in pharma, 1 in defense, the head of a major children's charity, and a royal family member not named Andrew. The rest were financiers, ambassadors, and 2 names connected to the Vatican. Why they panicked? Maxwell's lawyers filed their emergency motion the next day, 90,000 pages. She wants them blocked. Now you know why. 318 names were the ones they could show you. 43 were the ones that would end governments. Prince Andrew was arrested the same day this file leaked. Coincidence? The Sultan of DP World, that's an interesting name, resigned the same day. Coincidence? Goldman Sachs top lawyer resigned the same week. Coincidences? There are no coincidences. The clock is ticking. The DOJ has 60 days from the passage of the Epstein Act to release all remaining documents. Day 52, 8 days left. Maxwell's fighting the deep's greatest scrambling. Senators are lawyering up, but Trump signed the law. Bondi is enforcing it, and the clock doesn't stop. In 8 days, the 43 names will go public. They deleted the file. They can't delete the truth. So this went out yesterday at 5 a.m., February 22nd. I take all Q posts with a grain of salt. Because it's always, oh, this is going to happen. 8 days left, TikTok. And, you know, how many times have we seen representatives get up there and talk about, oh, we've seen the names. We've seen these unredacted names. It'll shock you to the core. Well, then release it. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the war with Iran to kick off before you do that? Is that what you're waiting for? But we can't trust where we're getting news. Wait, is that me? No, that's not me in that picture. I wear glasses. But this is where we're at. No one trusts anything. And so, you know, the anonymous Q guy has just as much credence as the teleprompter reading puppet on mainstream media. Because we're not getting the truth. And I think, you know, we just want the truth. We just want what's really going on. And I'm wondering if I should pivot over to Iran. We got time. We'll get to that. Let's get to more pedophiles. This is clip 29. A D.C. Democrat running for Congress charged with distributing child pornography. Now, it says Angel Rios shared a video of a man sexually assaulting his son over social media. So maybe it's the man sexually assaulting his son. Because I'm looking at this, I'm like, well, his name's Angel Rios. Is this a guy or a girl? It looks like a girl. Harvard University, of course. So let's go to the report. These are gross people.
D.C. man running as a candidate, according to federal election forms, to replace Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, has been arrested.
Now, I-Team investigator Scott Taylor is joining us now live with the details here. Scott, what type of charges are we talking about?
Well, Angel Anthony Rios has been indicted on a charge of distributing child porn. He was arraigned in U.S. District Court this morning. His name is listed with the Federal Election Commission as running for the office. This is really an unusual story. His social media posts say he's a candidate for another office, D.C.'s shadow representative's office. Now, court documents show someone tipped off D.C. police over claims they were sent videos of child porn.
Does anyone find it odd that we have a position in office called the shadow representative? Does that sound weird? I'd never heard of this shadow representative, but here's this person passing around child pornography, apparently, and they're running for an office called shadow representative. And it's like, man, you know, that's what we have here in D.C. We have shadow representatives. Like, I don't know where we're at anymore. Timelines must have shifted somewhere, and we're still stuck. You know, those of us who were born in the 70s are still going, wait a minute, none of this is right. Shadow congressperson. Okay, here it is. The posts of Shadow United States Senator and Shadow United States Representative are held by elected or appointed government officials from the subnational politics of the United States. They lack they don't get a congressional vote, so they just kind of sit around. I'm sure we have to pay these people to sit around and do nothing. That sounds like a great job, huh? I've won the office of do nothing, but I get paid. All right, let's finish the report.
Child porn through an ex account belonging to Rios. That ex account has been removed. In the court's criminal complaint, a copy of Angel Rios's LinkedIn page is shown and his picture. An undercover agent took over from there and continued the conversation that ended up in the arrest of Rios, and he's been locked up since January. Now, today I was in court. Rios was arraigned and entered a not guilty plea. He'll be back in court next month. We have reached out to the D.C. Election Board. His attorney had no comment, and we just checked, and his name is not officially on the D.C. Board of Elections list for either office.
So what the hell is going on? D.C. Now he's just D.C. man. Claims he's running for federal office. Arrested for distributing child porn. And you look at this, I guess it's a guy, kind of looks like a girl to me, you know, got the headband on the hair, wearing a jacket that looks kind of feminine in his bio picture. But it's a dude, that's what they say. I mean, who knows anything anymore? We can't just have yes or no. Everything's got to be some nuanced version of maybe. All right, now we're going to go to Alaska, where we have the chief of staff of a state senator arrested for child trafficking. This is clip 28. Clip 28.
As we come on the air at 4, shock in the Capitol hallways after the FBI says that a Mat-Su state senator's chief of staff was arrested on federal child sex trafficking charges that happened in Juneau today. That's where our political reporter, Will Courtney, joins us live as he continues to gather reaction from inside the Capitol building.
Yeah, Rebecca, I think shock about sums up what the reaction we're hearing in the Capitol today is. That's after we learned that Sutton Senator George Rauscher's chief of staff, Craig Scott Valdez, was arrested on 4 different federal charges, including child sex trafficking charges. Court documents are describing an Anchorage incident in October where the FBI says Valdez used Snapchat to lure a juvenile to his Anchorage home to celebrate his birthday. The documents go on to say the minor's sibling alerted their mother, who used a family tracking app to locate the juvenile, heard the minor trying to leave, entered Valdez's home, and struck him to get the minor out. Now, when police arrived, the FBI says Valdez had fled. Senate Minority Leader Mike Cronk confirmed to me today that Valdez has been fired, calling the news shocking. The FBI says at least 11 other juveniles may have also been targeted by Valdez across Alaska. The 3 other charges in this case include production of child pornography, coercion and enticement of minors, and receipt of child pornography. You'll have to forgive me if I'm being a little bit quiet. Right behind me is the Senate Resources Committee, which Rauscher is a part of. However, he was not here today. They actually don't have quorum to conduct business. Rauscher being a part of that reason, they don't have quorum. We did also just get a reaction from the Alaska Republican Party as well, calling these charges horrifying, and that now Valdez does not have any affiliation with the Young Anchorage Republican Party. Now, we are learning more, and on our website right now, we have an expanded coverage.
And you shouldn't be surprised when you hear Republicans involved in this either, because if you look at the Franklin cover-up, that's what it was during the 80s, was all Republicans trafficking young minors around the country. So this guy's probably part of a network. I'm more interested to see how did he flee? Did he flee on foot? Because that guy didn't look like he's getting very far in the frozen tundra of Alaska. And it's still winter up there. But, you know, he was in the Young Republicans Club. So that's probably where he was looking for young boys or girls, whatever. It looked like he was into boys. And then you've got he's part of the State Resources Commission. Yeah, there they are. Look at that. 2 fine, upstanding individuals. Disgusting, disgusting fat bodies. But, you know, I think in his mind, he's like, listen, trafficking young people, that's a state resource, you know? So that's probably, he probably thought he was in the right committee. He's like, we got these kids, you know, they're human resources. So we will take them and I'll groom them to be, you know, sex objects for these politicians, these creepy politicians. I mean, it's beyond disgusting. It keeps getting more and more disgusting. But what do you have? You got people speaking out. Let's see. Oh, well, let's just go to the guy bullhorning Epstein as we go to break. This is clip 31. You got people pissed off about this, and so they're just going nuts. They're like, anybody who will listen, we're going to talk about Epstein and pedophilia. And you know, we kind of need this until we get closure. So this is clip 31.
We can go down a fucking list. Donnie Mom on the Epstein list. That's right. It's the reason why he's in power. Jessica Tisch, her cousin, is on the Epstein list. It's the reason why she's in power. It's the reason why they're running this fucking city. They got millions. Their families got millions and millions of dollars. And they out here playing. They playing with us. They make their kids run our cities. They out here playing with us. My Donnie's a spoiled little bitch. My Donnie's a spoiled little bitch. Ain't never struggled in his life. But he tried to get out here and act like he is.
You know, you need like a thousand of those people walking around the city right now with bullhorns. You can just keep him up on screen as he's going. You can have a little bit underneath me. You know, we saw the guy in the airport who was screaming at people a couple weeks ago. Pissed off that nothing's happening. And what's happening? But what is happening here? What's happening?
The pedo tolerance level is being hit.
People are sick and tired of it, and the more people are talking about it, the more people are getting pissed. And when we come back, I've got a guest. She's been a guest on the show. I Am the Storm. She's confronting her community board of supervisors over in California. And then I've got this interview with a guy named John DeMartini, who was working with Oprah on this film that came out about 20 years ago called The Secret. It was how you can manifest your destiny and all that stuff. And he basically says, you know, children are asking for it if they want to be raped, and murdering children is not a bad idea. This is like a professional individual saying this in an interview. And he just says it on camera like it's no big deal. There's two classes of people. There's the predator class and then everybody else. So when we get back, we'll play those. We'll try to get through those in the first 5 minutes. And then I'll open up the phone lines and we'll take your calls. Don't be depressed, though. Be informed. And use that information to guide yourself.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at Infowars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.